No matter where you are, you're on Texas Standard Time on this Wednesday, October 19th, 2016, a date which may well go down in infamy if passed as prologue, because it's debate night in America. I'm David Brown. Before we get started, let's review where we've been.
You called it the gold standard.
You called it
the gold standard of trade deals. You said it's the finest deal.
The next segment, we're continuing the subject of
ISIS. Well, at least I have a plan to fight ISIS.
No, you're telling the enemy everything you want to do.
Please,
you didn't delete him?
Allow her to respond, please.
Personal emails, not
so, Texas, had enough yet? Landing blows, calling names, flinging zingers. If Frank Capra were to make a movie of this, he might call it Jerry Springer Goes to Washington. Presidential debates are important, to be sure, but when debates descend into parodies of debates, what are we actually getting? Cancel the third debate, so writes Lynn Scher, longtime journalist on BillMoyers.com last week, and based on comments online and chatter around the dinner table, she's not alone in that sentiment. But is it a reasonable thought? Just say no to a third debate. The subject is certainly debatable, so we thought we'd try just that. Resolved. There's no need for tonight's third debate. Taking the affirmative position, which in this case is to say, let's not have another debate, Matthew Eshbaugh Soha, professor and chair of political science at the University of North Texas. Welcome, professor.
Thanks so much for having me.
And taking the negative, which in this case means the debate must go on, Brandon Rodinghouse. He is professor of political science at the University of Houston. Dr. Rodinghouse, welcome to Standard.
I'm glad to be here, David.
So let's begin with the case for not having a debate tonight. Dr. Eshbaugh Soha, if you will.
Sure. Well, I think ultimately we're concerned about debates, sort of a big picture idea of transparency, right? We put candidates in front of moderators before the American people, and they are asked questions and they are supposed to respond. So I think if that happens, then I can see value in debates, particularly adding a third debate. But just to counter that particular question, so far candidates haven't been answering the questions, right? Moderators have had a difficult time being able to rein in the participants. So we're not really getting a lot of, say, transparency from the candidates. And I think that is a big question as it concerns sort of democratic values. But I also think ultimately, and political scientists are most interested in this, is whether the debates really matter. Do they really affect the outcome? And I think that most of the evidence suggests that they don't. For individuals who watch the debates, most people who have decided who they're going to support, they come out of the debate continuing to support that candidate. We do have a small percentage of undecided voters in the debate, perhaps more in the 2016 presidential election cycle than previously. But by the time we get to a third debate, most of those people have decided, right? So the question that you're asking is whether we need three. For most voters, one would be sufficient. And increasingly, as we make our way through the debates, you know, fewer and fewer people are watching it, right? They get tired of it. They've already decided. They have other things that they're interested in doing. So I think that on both the transparency standpoint in terms of whether it promotes democratic values and then also whether it really matters, I think those are the two main points that I'll make to start off this conversation.
All right. Now let's turn to the case for having a debate tonight. Dr. Brandon Rodinghouse of the University of Houston, let's hear it.
Well, I think that politics in 2016 is a lot like good Texas barbecue. Low and slow improves the final product. We have had an October surprise every day for every day we've had in October. And these kind of hot takes, I think, raise the kind of temperature of the race and make for these too short and often sort of under-considered viewpoints. So voters need to think carefully about their options, and the stakes are very high. And so I think that the more we have this discussion, the greater we extend out this narrative, the better it is that voters can be able to appreciate what's really happening. Both candidates need to keep their coals hot to motivate their bases to vote. And this is especially important for Republicans. Donald Trump, in recent polling in Texas, is only polling about 78% of support amongst Republicans. So he needs to get that number up into the 90s if Republicans are going to be able to succeed in the places that they'd like to be able to compete in. So this is important for the bases, but it's also important for undecideds in some way. I think Matt's right that there are a lot of people who have already made up their mind, but we still see sizable percentages in
battleground states like Ohio and Nevada and North Carolina, they're in play because there's a high percentage of people who are undecided. Recent polling in Texas has 11% of Texans undecided. At this point in the race, that's pretty astounding, especially because we're such a red state. So there are those people out there who are not sure whom to vote for, and this might give them that final nudge to go out and go vote.
Okay, it's my duty as moderator here to remind the audience, no more boos or applause, please. We have to reserve time for... I've always wanted to do that, so I just had to throw that in. Okay, I want to begin with you, Dr. Rodinghouse. The case has been made that maybe we're not getting a whole lot out of these debates anymore. And in fact, a lot of people physically repulsed by what certainly the second debate descended into. Is that really good for democracy?
Yeah, I think that there's a relevance and an importance about the kind of non-issue based type interactions, because it gives the voters a sense of how these individuals will function as president. We don't get to see all the things presidents do every day, right? They're hidden in the Oval Office. They're flying on Air Force One. They're in secretive sort of clandestine meetings with these other individuals across the world. So we don't get to see them except through these kinds of interactions. So the debates might not move the needle in terms of policy, but the candidates can still talk about the democratic notion of the presidency. And although issues have been extremely bereft in the 2016 campaign, questions about experience and competence have been front and center. So these debates help people check their altimeter on questions about leadership and temperament. And so even if we don't understand the issues that much better than we did before, or it's not convincing people that Donald Trump's tax policies are better than Hillary Clinton's healthcare policies, we get a sense of how they would handle themselves, the decorum through which they would appreciate and improve the office.
Dr. Eshbasoha, this is, in a way, a perfect stage to demonstrate one's leadership skills. It's often been said that debates are essential to our presidential contests so that we can make those determinations about that most important skill. Isn't it crucial that we have as many opportunities to make that evaluation as possible?
Well, I think it's important to have the display of the interaction between the candidates. I think the question before us is whether we need three presidential debates and a vice presidential debate. I wonder if perhaps having three presidential debates and a vice presidential debate sort of diminishes the value of each individual debate. Perhaps it would be better if we focused our attention on one, maybe two debates. I would point out that although I think that there is some value in providing this information to voters, there were a number of presidential election years, 64, 8, and 72, where there were no debates. Previous presidential elections, 80, 84, and I think 88, had two presidential debates. It's sort of this format that we've had three presidential debates and a vice presidential debate since 1992. And again, I think that there is some value in having this exchange, but do we need three debates? Is this something that is more a function of trying to drive the news cycle in terms of trying to maintain interest of voters in what is a very long and tiresome campaign? I would question that, given that, you know, we all have limited time. Many people have already made up their minds. You know, I think if there is some value in the exchange and in looking at leadership, I would suggest we could get at that in one, maybe two debates.
Unfortunately, gentlemen, we won't have time for closing arguments today. But I do want each of you to step back from the podium, if you will, and tell me, what do you hope, best case scenario, what do you hope for tonight? And please just jump right in.
Yeah, I was going to say that the country needs some closure on this process. It has been, as David said and as Pat said, it has been such a whirlwind of activity and negativity that the country needs some kind of a closure emotionally on what's happening. So the events and issues are likely to be able to come to a final head here, and both candidates are going to present their closing arguments. What is the last argument for why this is important? As my grandmother used to say, who was a farmer, we're down to the short rows here, right? We are at the corner of this process. What's going to happen at the end of this? And the candidates need to be able to provide their view of what the world's going to look like and what their office will look like when they're president.
Yeah, I completely agree with Brandon. I think what the candidates need to do, and I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but this would be my hope, is that the candidates address issues specifically in the third debate. And what's more, they make a case as to why the American people should elect them. So far, we've had a lot of back and forth, a lot of criticism. Both campaigns are riddled with scandals and other complications. Make the case to the American people, project that message, and make that set the tone for the last couple weeks of the campaign.
Well, gentlemen, I wish every debate were this civil. Thank you so much for taking your time to speak with us today about the future of the presidential debates. Dr. Matthew Eshbaugh-Soha is professor and chair of political science at the University of North Texas, and Brandon Rodinghouse is professor of political science at the University of Houston. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.